Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting and podcasting once again, folks, in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan baby from the Black Diamond Group mothership in a beautiful green nutrient field, coming off welcome back weekend here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Fire up chips, Craig Russell, the hustle. Welcome back weekend. We survived. CMU is back in school. How are you doing?
I'm good. Where's my Todd L. Levitt Law Show, I Survived Welcome Back Weekend t-shirt? I want my clothes, man. Yeah. Come on.
You know, students from all over the country, college students, if they haven't already made their way and packed up their cars and said goodbye to their parents and siblings and grandparents and friends, they've made their way to their universities and are getting ready to start the school year or are starting the school year at CMU. Fire Up Chips, you and I are both Central grads, starts tomorrow. Every year around this time, Welcome Back Weekend takes place. And you have the issue with the Welcome Back Weekend is, Craig, is that as a parent, you just want everyone to be safe. You have thousands and thousands of students coming back after an entire summer of working hard, internships, ready to start the new year. You have the incoming freshmen who for the first time have left, you know, their parents. They're on their own, living in the dorms. It's new friends, new experiences. You combine that with thousands of friends and relatives who are visiting those going to school together with just random people. Alcohol's involved, and you've got what we refer to as end of the world party, you know, 2.0 here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Of course, it's not nearly as bad as it used to be. You remember back in the day, Todd, back in the day, the beginning and the end of school year parties were legendary. Wait, legendary. And now, I mean, they're still big now, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, when I got to CMU in 1984, after graduating from Berkeley High, class 83, go Bears, I had no idea what the end of the world party was. There were 10,000 plus people gathered from the edge of the northern edge of Central Michigan University's campus all the way downtown, 10,000 people. It was unbelievable. And hey, Craig, I want to give a big shout out to, you know, all the different law enforcement agencies who were in town this weekend. We had the state troopers. We had the sheriff's department. Sheriff Mike Main does a great job. We had the city police here. They're always here. They do a great job also. So big kudos to the city. And we have, you know, tribal. And we also have CMU campus police. They do a great job. The chief out there, he's a great leader. I have a lot of friends out there. And then we had a lot of other jurisdictions in town keeping your kids, your loved ones safe. And they did a great job this year. So big kudos to all the volunteers and all the different agencies who are out there.
And if, for let's just say you're a parent and maybe you've gotten that call this weekend, 989-772-6000. Todd Levitt, remember, Todd specializes in a lot of these things, being in a college town. So maybe you got the call early this morning. Maybe you'll get the call later this afternoon. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. I might have gotten into some trouble last night. 989-772-6000. Todd Levitt, he's the man. Just want to throw that out there.
I've been representing college students who find themselves making poor choices, as I did when I was younger, for many, many years. And yeah, happy to always talk to parents. They can call my office today, and I'll give them a call back. But, hey, Craig, we have a huge show, Big show last week with Little John. We love Little John, but we have a huge show to get to. We have an update on Canada's medical marijuana program. We have a lot of listeners up in the great country to the north. We're a border state here in Michigan. We love our Canadian neighbors to the north. So we have an update on Canada's program. And what do you have?
I've got updates about Utah and about Hawaii. Of course, we podcast all across the country and all across the world. You can hear this podcast everywhere and in Michigan as well. But California and Texas and both the Dakotas, south and north, Ohio, Michigan, all over Illinois and like over 20 countries in the world as well, listen to this podcast and listen to this radio show. So we've got all kinds of cannabis news all across the United States. And if I remember correctly, we have a little show planning meeting every week. You mentioned this is going to be the show of all shows, the mother of all complaining shows. You've got your number one complaint ever on this show.
I've got my top two complaints ever
We're
going to be talking about here in a moment on the show. Absolutely.
Two?
And I think a lot of listeners can relate to my complaint that I'm about to, you know, just unleash on the audience here. Also, because it is Welcome Back Weekend at a lot of universities around the country, we're going to be talking about what exactly is open intox in public. If you have been giving or you know someone that was given a citation or arrested, if it's a misdemeanor in the country and jurisdiction in which you reside in, for open intox in public, what does that mean? And what do you do with an open intox ticket, Craig? And that's something that's given out here in college towns all over the country. We're going to be talking about open intox, nuisance parties, resisting, obstructing. We got a lot of different things to go over today. But how about a complaint? I am ready to just complain because I've had it.
Okay.
And this happened for the second time last week. And I'm literally going to go talk to the manager of this establishment and file a formal complaint. You ready for this?
This is serious. You are serious.
No, I'm just fed up. How many times have you been at a local grocery store in a town in which you live in or visiting a town? And I'm not going to name any stores, but it's a big one.
Okay.
And for the second time in a matter of 2 months, I'm waiting in line to check out with a cart full of groceries. And in front of me is an individual who is already in the checkout process. Now, this individual happens to know the cashier. Now, this individual and the cashier are having an ongoing conversation about friends and family and what's going on at the local PTA, hypothetically. You know, just it's a conversation between two people that shouldn't be taking place at a grocery store checkout line. They should be like Taco Bell and fast food restaurants where the cashiers are timed. I'm so tired of standing there, twiddling my thumbs, waiting while they're having an ongoing conversation, and the cashier literally is taking, you know, this is a situation where the cashier was picking up an item and not scanning it, but looking at the customer, talking to the customer about personal things, and then scanning it, and then picking up another item, and talking some more, and then scanning it. I want those scanners to move. This is not social club. This is not, you know, let's get together and have a good time. I mean, I had somewhere to go. It's usually after work. I'm in a rush. I want to get home. There's usually somebody behind me. I can't back up. I'm over it, Craig. Enough is enough. Management at grocery stores need to tell their cashiers that it's okay, that you're friendly, and you get to know the customers. But if somebody comes in who you know them personally, you can have a conversation, you can be courteous, but there's people waiting to go. Take the conversation somewhere else, Craig. I'm serious. I'm over this. And it's happened twice. It's happened twice at the same store with two different cashiers.
I have two responses to this. First one is there's a time and a place for everything. And I totally agree. That's not the time nor the place to have personal conversations with customers. But secondly, you know, there is something you can do about this, Todd.
What?
They have self-checkout lines. You know, you could go through and you could be doing it yourself and not have to deal with any of that.
Craig, let me tell you about self-checkout lines. When you have a grocery cart full of $150 worth of groceries, if you go through a self-checkout, you might as well be there for 3 hours because those things always break down, or you got to call the cashier, they got to come over, or whoever that is in a recording, oh, you need to place your item here, you need to place your item there. I'm telling you right now, it just doesn't work with $150 worth of groceries. I'm standing in line. The cashier this past week is having this conversation. There's other lines in front of me, behind me. People are going through these lines like NASCAR racers. Their cashiers are checking them in, checking them out. I'm standing there. I know the manager of this grocery store, okay? It's one of the big, big ones. I'm just going to say that. We have listeners from all over the country and the world. I'll just leave it at that. I think the listeners can figure out which store I'm referring to. But I got to go in there because, listen, the cashier, both times, the ladies were very nice, but you're right. This was a conversation for coffee and tea hour, not at work when I'm sitting there. Can I just tell you something? I'm the first one to speak up. I respect that people are working hard, you know, and they have jobs and they have kids to take care of. But come on, folks, move the line along.
Time and a place. Time and a place.
Time and a place. So that's my number one complaint. My other complaint is, you ready for this one?
Well, we got to take a break. We got to save it for segment two. We've already spent segment one complaining. We'll start segment two with a complaint. All right, you ready to take a break?
Yeah, we have to take a break. But also, I absolutely want to mention that we're going to be talking. We have a question from a listener about the Michigan Right to Farm Act. It's called the Michigan's Right to Farm Act. And we'll be talking about that right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the mothership in a beautiful green nutrient field. Craig Russell, take us to break. And when we come back, we have a lot to get to, and we're going to turn it and burn it with Doc and the Hunter on the way back from break.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, coming back strong with literally one of my first favorite hair band groups back in the early 80s, actually at the end of the 70s, early 80s, Don Dokken, the Hunter, Craig Russell. I love Dokken. I mean, literally, they're the ones that, other than Black Sabbath, really started my love for hair band music.
I'll tell you, this show has really taught me not only a lot about your musical taste, because they are everywhere. I mean, and I say this with love and affection, you are all over the place when it comes to your love of 80s music, from hair bands to English pop to synthesizer music. It's always amazing what you come up with, the things that you like musically. Some of the hip-hop stuff from Detroit back in the 80s and stuff, you love it all. But Dokken is certainly one of the best hard rock bands that ever was.
Absolutely. Hey, we have a story from Canada, north of the border. There's been a huge backlash. You ready for this, Craig?
Okay.
After the Canadian Medical Association calls to end Canada's medical marijuana program. Did you hear what I just said?
I did.
The Canadian Medical Association has just sparked outrage within cannabis advocacy groups across Canada, including a number of its own members. And the proposal is that Canada should terminate the medical marijuana program and just let the patients get their medicine not from doctors, but from dispensaries. There's a big problem with this, though.
What's that?
Well, think about it. Canada, which across the board passed recreational marijuana laws, which already had in place a medical marijuana program, if they terminate the medical portion of it where doctors are no longer, prescribing, medicine for individuals and they just have to go to dispensaries, how do you tell a 5 or 6 or 7 year old child or a parent of a child that, if they want relief for their child who has convulsions or other medical conditions, that they can no longer get it, from medical professionals who understand the ailment, they now have to go to a dispensary and figure everything out there. I mean, it's just wrong. Now, I'm not knocking dispensaries. There's some great bud tenders out there. There's extremely knowledgeable men and women that work at, provisioning centers, aka dispensaries, all over the world. But when it comes to, certain medical conditions, you definitely want to make sure you consult with a physician, and even more so, a physician who specializes in the treatment of ailments such as seizures with CBDs and other forms of strains from the plant.
Like everything, does this have to do with money? Canada has one of the best and also one of the most expensive healthcare programs. Everyone is covered under the healthcare provisioning. Does that end up being part of it because of the cost, now that they take that, if the Medical Association of Canada wants to take the cost out of the medicinal cannabis area, does that save them a bunch of money? Does that save the government a bunch of money?
I don't think it's the entire organization's, the Canadian Medical Association's, opinion. I think it's just that of a number of individuals. And again, it all comes down to politics. And, if you terminate the Canadian medical program or any medical program for that matter across our great country, the United States of America, it just further is going to separate, the patients from their doctors. I mean, it's just a further separation. We've already talked about this on previous shows where, the pharmaceutical companies and the federal government have definitely, put an anchor between doctors and prescribing medicine, in a prescription form to patients who test positive for medical THC. So there's already that issue. We're not going to get into it, but this is just wrong. I don't see it happening. My opinion, from everything I know about Canada, the way the laws are and where things are going, I don't ever see in the near future the connection between physicians and medical marijuana being terminated. So I just believe this is just the thoughts of a number of individuals who are putting forth these policies, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think everything is going to stay the same.
Well, and plus, obviously, with all the backlash and the unpopularness of just this article and about this, some of this talk, I think that's probably going to set them in the right direction and say, okay, maybe that's not such a good idea. But that would be it would be devastating. It really would be.
You definitely want patients to still have a relationship with their physicians, whereby the physicians who have treated these patients and have a bona fide relationship with them, they know their conditions. They know, I think it's important for physicians and the medical associations that back the physicians to provide and start providing, education in the realm of CBDs and other strains and what the plant can do that's already proven across the board, treatment wise. I'm going to be speaking at a symposium in regards to cannabis and school system. Because we talked about this a number of weeks back, where the state of Illinois, the governor, a Republican governor, signed into law a bill that allows parents to be able to go to schools, K through 12, and treat their young children with medical cannabis who have seizures. So I just think doctors need to become more educated, and there's a lot of things that need to be done. But Canada has been at the forefront, very progressive. I do not see the Canadian Medical Association being in a position where they're going to terminate that doctor-patient relationship It's just not going to happen. The backlash would be huge. Also, I first came across this information at my favorite website, Leafly.com. So I want to give a big shout out to Leafly.com. You should always provide a means of what your sources are. I always stay up to date from Leafly.com.
And, I mean, I'll say this much. You know, you can go to your doctor and your doctor can say, hey, here's what I think you need to do for your condition. I think you need to go get an over-the-counter medication for your condition. And here's what I would suggest you do. So even if this did happen, a doctor could still say, you need to go to your local provisioning center and you need to get 2 ounces of marijuana and continue to use it the way you have been. I don't think that's necessarily going to decay that part of it. But I think it's important that it's also something, you know, if you're writing a prescription for, that might be a cost situation, and that could be part of the problem of all this.
There's always so many different moving parts to these issues, but we're going to stay on top of it for our listeners right here on the Todd Elevitt Law Show, coming off Welcome Back Weekend here in the middle of the Midtown, Central Michigan University. We're located right here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Yes, I am a criminal defense attorney practicing criminal defense. You know, I represent a lot of students. I've represented thousands and thousands of college students over the years, Craig, not just here at Central Michigan University, but Northern Michigan University, from MSU, University of Michigan, Northwood, Ferris, Bulldogs, and all the community colleges. I actually attended community college, but I just want to give a big shout out to all the different law enforcement agencies who worked so hard this past weekend to keep your kids, our kids, our loved ones safe in such a party atmosphere. Because every year, as we mentioned in the first segment, you know, the town just goes crazy. And we don't want anybody to get hurt. We don't want anybody, you know, even worse than that, to get seriously injured. And we don't want any property destroyed. We want everybody to enjoy coming back to college in a very fun, healthy, responsible way.
And on top of it, remember, if you got into some trouble over the weekend and maybe you don't know how to get a hold of mom and dad and you want to talk to Todd first, 989-772-6000. Todd can help you out. This weekend especially, you know, if you're an 18 or a 19-year-old kid and this is your first weekend on campus, your first weekend back at school, and you're in a situation maybe you haven't been in before, your, you know, mom or dad slipped you 100 and said, here you go for some emergency pizza or whatever, and you decided to use it on things you shouldn't have, or you got into a situation you didn't know about, give Todd's office a call first. He can help you out. Maybe you can figure out a way to get a hold of mom and dad and say, hey, here's what's happening, and tell you the best ways to help your situation. And because that's what Todd does. And of course, we podcast all across the country now, across the world. And this is not just unusual or new or unique to Michigan. There are colleges all across the country that are coming back in the next couple of weekends, if not this weekend. And this kind of stuff, make sure, you know, if you're in an area and Todd can't help you, you still get a hold of Todd. He can point you in the right direction. You work with some of the best criminal defense lawyers and some of the best lawyers in the country, period. And you can certainly put people in the right direction for things they might need after the first weekend of class and school.
Craig, open in talks in public, not in a motor vehicle, but open in talks in public each year as college students descend back on their college towns and the campuses start to explode and students are partying. You have students who are 21 and over consuming alcohol on private property. I'm going to ask you and the listeners, when do you think they get themselves in trouble? So number one, my question is, if you're 21 and over and you're on private property in someone's front yard, can you consume alcohol?
I would say no.
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, if you're on private property and you're 21 and over, and let's say you're at your house, you're in your front yard sitting, you're having a beer. That's not illegal to sit there on your private property if you're 21 and over and crack open a delicious, refreshing beverage. Back in my day, it was Miller Longnecks for $1. I remember those in the 80s. Where students get themselves in trouble is when they step out onto a sidewalk and they're now on public property. That's when the officer can approach them. And if they are possessing open alcohol containers with alcohol in those containers, they can be given a misdemeanor citation for open intoxicant in public. It's a 90-day misdemeanor under certain ordinances.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Todd, if I'm enjoying a beer on my private property, but I take one step onto the sidewalk, that breaks the plane, and that's where it sends the law into effect that you can't have an open intoxicant on public property?
That's correct. As soon as you step onto public property, a sidewalk, a street, or otherwise off the private property, you're now putting yourself in jeopardy and you're breaking a law, a local ordinance, state law. There are certain circumstances where, and not welcome back weekend necessarily, where individuals get a permit for, you know, from the local township where they're allowed to block off a certain number of streets for functions where they have beer tents or fundraisers. That's a different story. I'm referring to you're in a college town. That college town may have a local ordinance that says, you know, you cannot consume alcohol out in public if you're 21 and over. You step out across that private to public boundary, you're going to get a ticket. I see them every year here at CMU and across the state of Michigan. I get calls for these tickets. So just a little warning out there. If you're 21 and over, drink responsibly. Have a designated driver. Keep an eye on one another, too. A lot of young people get themselves in trouble. They don't, you know, they go out and they party. They drink too much or they're not used to consuming that much alcohol. And they don't have somebody keeping an eye on them, and they could end up in the hospital and even worse. I hear about these sad stories every year. We love our kids. We want you to have fun, but be safe doing it. Craig, we have to go to break.
We do have to go to break. When we come back, we'll have more about that kind of law, because this is, you know, again, start of colleges all across the state and all across the country. It's important stuff to get to. Plus, we have more cannabis law to get to and more complaints. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show will be right back. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting all across planet Earth from the middle of the mitten, Black Diamond Group Mothership, Craig Russell, in a beautiful nutrient field. The field is a little wet. We've had a few days of rain, but we love when it rains. Our farmers who are on their second crops need the water. Craig, I got a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
And we have a lot of listeners out there that could probably send us an email at toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com. I'm under the impression, albeit I'm a city guy who now lives out in the sticks, that after a farm, you know, goes through a crop like corn, you know, knee-high by the 4th of July, and then they do it, you know, they gather the corn. This sounds so bad because I don't know what I'm talking about. They gather the corn.
Okay.
You know, they ship it off to the big silos and off to the market or wherever it goes. Do they then clear the field, and if they have time and the conditions are right, do they then plant another type of crop during the same season?
I don't think so. I think most fields are dedicated to one type of crop and they do it once a year. I don't think they reuse the same fields for different kinds of crops. I could be wrong.
I know they rotate crops from year to year. One year someone will do potatoes and they'll do sweet corn and whatnot. Oh, hey, by the way, Craig, I have a question for you.
Okay, I have an answer for you.
What is the best way to butter a corn on a cob? How do you butter your corn?
Easy. You take a stick of butter, you take the corn, and you roll it in the butter, and you eat it that way.
Wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong? What are you talking about?
last week I had one of my farms out here drop off some sweet corn, a friend of mine. So I took it home.
Okay.
I boiled it because you boil sweet corn.
Sure.
And when it was done, I took a hot dog bun, I put a bunch of margarine in the hot dog bun, and put the corn in the hot dog bun, and just sort of put the bun back and forth while I rolled the corn, across the hot dog bun, and it got soaked in margarine. It took me about 30 seconds. I had a number of individuals in my kitchen. They were younger folks. They thought this was the most absurd, funniest thing they've ever seen. They started Snapchatting it. And I said, what are you talking about? I go, does your generation not know the proper way to butter corn? They had no clue. So immediately I knew if I called Big Hair and put him on speakerphone and asked him the same question, that he would come up with the same answer that I had. And sure enough, he backed me up on this. The best way to butter corn is to put butter on a piece of bread or a bun, like a hot dog bun, and then roll the corn on the bun. Doesn't that make sense?
I never thought about that before. That is a great way to butter corn on the cob. I'm going to have to try that today later on. I was thinking about getting some corn on the cob anyway. I've never done that before. So that's I learned something new on this show every week, Todd. It just never ceases to amaze me.
I don't know. I learned that back in the day when I was at Central Michigan University as a SIG Ep. Once a SIG Ep, always a SIG Ep. Sigma Phi Epsilon, baby. Big shout out to all the SIG Eps out there. Hey, Craig.
Okay.
We have a question from a listener in regards. We're talking about corn on the cob and rotating crops and whatnot. There is something in Michigan called the Michigan's Right to Farm Act. I had an email from a listener way up in the UP. So big shout out to the great state of Superior over the bridge. This came from Engadine. Is that how you say it? Engadine?
Engadine, yep.
Engadine. Great folks up there in Engadine. And they wanted to know how marijuana, the laws in the state of Michigan, is affected by the Michigan's Right to Farm Act. I'm not sure if anybody even understands what the Michigan Right to Farm Act is. The Right to Farm Act immunizes farms or farm operations from public or private nuisance liability, Craig, if the farm or operation conforms to generally accepted agricultural and management practices, GAMPs. And I believe that a GAMP is again, G-A-A-M-P-S, it stands for generally accepted agricultural and management practices. And the question is how does that affect marijuana cultivation, and is it covered? But a marijuana cultivation is a farm operation, obviously, as far as I'm concerned, under the Right to Farm Act, if it produces plants commercially or animals that are held out for sale for profit and are useful to human beings. And since you could argue that medical marijuana cultivation is a commercial enterprise and it's producing a plant useful to humans and it's profitable, that it must or may be covered under this act and provides farms with immunity. Now, as an attorney in the state of Michigan, I'm not recommending at all. So let me make this clear. I'm not recommending any farmer go out there and start cultivating, you know, this beautiful plant without first getting approved through the state of Michigan for a Class A, B, or C license. Somebody had a question about what exactly is the Right to Farm Act and what it does. The question is marijuana cultivation a farm or farm operation? I would argue it is. And then the second question is, which GAMPs, if any, are available to marijuana cultivators? And what type of immunity does a farm operation have from a public or private nuisance? I'm not going to get into it, Craig. I'm not that familiar with the Michigan Right to Farm Act. I would rather defer to all the new Michigan laws and statutes and regulations in regards to how farmers and individuals should and must, and I say must in quotes, go about obtaining permission legally to cultivate the marijuana plant. You know, the Right to Farm Act, it's interesting. The listeners out there might want to look it up. And again, if a marijuana cultivation business is a farm operation, if it's commercially producing plants or animals that are held out for sale for a profit and are useful to human beings, there might be an argument there that it's covered under the Right to Farm Act. I'm not making that argument right now. Also, you might want to look up, you know, GAMPs, Generally Accepted Agricultural and Management Practices. I defer to the new state statutes, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, the Michigan Medical Facilities Licensing Act, all the emergency regulations and the new laws moving forward. I also defer to the upcoming ballot initiative to regulate marijuana like alcohol in Michigan and what that will do. And by the way, folks, if that passes, it's supposed to allow for not more than 150 marijuana plants that could be grown and sold at the same location. It's called a micro grow. A marijuana micro business is part of the new initiative that should be on the ballot. For more information, just look it up online. It's the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol in Michigan. It's going on the ballot in November. Get educated as to what it is. And make sure you get out and vote, Craig Russell, the hustle.
And if I remember correctly, Todd, who are we talking to who told us about those microgrows back in the spring? Is that Matt Abel?
Attorney Matt Abel.
That's what I thought.
Matt's a good friend of mine. We went to school together. He's been a mentor. Matt recently wrote an article in the Michigan Bar Journal. Great article. You can catch it possibly online. And it's an introduction to the ballot initiative in the state of Michigan to regulate marijuana, such as alcohol. Matt is someone who I refer clients to on a regular basis. Craig, we wanted to touch on, before we go to break, resisting and obstructing a police officer. And what does that involve?
Ooh, that's a scary subject, man. You should always treat law enforcement with respect, no matter what the situation is. Of course, sometimes maybe if you are a younger individual and you've not been in a drinking situation very much, and maybe you can't don't handle your liquor very well, or you're in another kind of a situation. Sometimes things happen. You make bad choices. That's a scary situation, though, for a law enforcement.
How that exactly? Look, we support law. I'm a defense attorney. We're a law show. I say it week in and week out. We love our vets. We support our veterans, their families, those that are serving who have sacrificed so much for us. We also support law enforcement. And that's not a contradiction. I'm a defense attorney, but I'm also a citizen. And you know what? They put their lives on the line each and every day. It doesn't mean I always agree with them when I have a case or I have a trial and they're on the stand. I do my job just like they do our job. But when it comes down to it, if you're in trouble, who do you call? You dial 911. Also, big shout out to all the first responders. It's Welcome Back Weekend here across the great state of Michigan, the Mitten State, and all across the country in Mount Pleasant. I'm a chip. You're a chip. We have something called Welcome Back Weekend. It just took place this past weekend. Every semester at the beginning, I always get a call or two, sometimes more, where a parent has a student or the student calls who has been arrested and charged with resisting and obstructing a police officer. And what takes place typically is you have an individual who's highly intoxicated. They're being belligerent. They're either a threat to themselves or to other individuals. The officers are on the scene. The officer is identifying him or herself as an officer. So let's say, for instance, Craig, hypothetically, you have a party going on, an officer arrives in uniform, and she identifies herself as an officer to subject number one. Subject number one, who's so intoxicated, starts, you know, mouthing off a little bit, and the officer says, okay, look, if you don't stop, I'm going to either ask you to leave or I'm going to place you under arrest for disorderly conduct. Again, the individual keeps mouthing off. The officer then, with discretion, tries to put handcuffs on the individual. The individual just takes off and runs. That's a felony right there. That is literally a felony. So, again, you have a scenario where all the elements are met. You have an officer who is on duty, identifying him or herself as an officer, and the individual who the officer is identifying him or herself to clearly can see it's an officer, is not obeying the directions of the officer, disobeys the officer, and in this case takes off and runs. But it doesn't have to be a situation where someone is running. It can be a situation where an officer goes to handcuff somebody, and that individual then starts to resist the handcuffs being placed on him or herself. That also falls under the definition of resisting and obstructing a police officer.
It's good information to have, especially this time of year, and especially for people who are end up being in situations they may not normally have been in or may have never been in before. So it's always good to, that's one of the things about this show that I always love, is I always learn things about things that I don't know anything about. And I think most people, you know, if you got kids who grew up in the suburbs and who don't have a whole lot of experience with law enforcement, it's good to know some of this stuff ahead of time to possibly prevent problems from happening as the school year progresses on.
And again, it's, you know, the definition, it's assaulting, endangering a police officer in the performance of his or her duties. It's a felony. Now, it's not always an assault, but the element of resisting, obstructing is present. So often I'll take a phone call and someone will say, well, I didn't assault. I didn't injure. I'll say, well, did you resist? Did you obstruct? Because you were given an order or you were told to do something and you failed to do it. Now, you know, we can get into the whole constitutionality of someone being approached out in public, you know, whether or not when they're being questioned by an officer or investigated, you know, what can they say? What should they say? I'm going to say it. You have the right to remain silent. You should use it. There are times where you're required to give identification and your name, and that's it. You don't have to provide any other information. You do not have to self-incriminate yourself. You absolutely, unequivocally have a right to remain silent. As a defense attorney of 25-plus years, it drives me crazy when I represent somebody and this individual, before I've represented them, has already, you know, met with a detective or spoken to an officer or provided a written statement. You know, officers aren't going to like what I'm saying. You don't have to do any of that. You can contact an attorney. You can lawyer up. You have a right to remain silent. That's not to, I'm not telling you to resist and obstruct an officer, you know, in the performance of his or her duty. I'm just telling you, you have constitutional rights. If you don't know what your rights are, read the frickin' Constitution. I love the Constitution. We love the First Amendment. We absolutely love the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. We love all the amendments. The Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. Educate yourself. Empower yourself. Know what your rights are. Look at, those are your rights. Those, the Constitution belongs to you. You can use it. It's there for you. It's your protections. You have a right to use it. I say, empower yourself, read it, and use it.
And of course, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, 989-772-6000. Before you talk to anyone else, make sure you give Todd's office a call because he can help you out. Hey, coming back, we got to take a break, but coming back, we've got another complaint and we've got some cannabis updates. It's on the way on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Fired up here in the mothership in the middle of the Mitten. Welcome back weekend. Coming back strong with Doc and the Hunter. I love Don Dokken. I love it. I just want to turn it, burn it, churn it. Love hair bands. I want to grow my hair long again, put my earring back in, put on some parachute pants, and head off to the club, Craig Russell. That's what I want to do. I used to hang out at the Ritz right there off of Gratiot. Harpo's was one of my stomping grounds. New York, New York. I used to see Bittersweet Alley when I was in high school. And I know the statute of limitations has told, but, you know, when I was 16, I had an ID that got me into bars. So, I'm just going to say that now. I mean, heck, I mean, who didn't want to go to those bad A rock clubs located all over Metro Detroit back in the day? I used to love going to the Ritz and Harpo's.
Todd L. Levin, I am shocked and appalled at that information. Not really. Not really at all.
Hey, full disclosure, listen, I'm in my 50s now. I think the statute of limitations has told. Absolutely. By the way, huge shout out to my good friend Cody Newman, Craig. Do you know who Cody Newman is?
I don't. Who is Cody Newman?
Cody Newman used to work at Camping World. Good friends of ours, good friends of the show.
Okay.
Station, big shout out to Bernsey up there at Camping World. We love Bernsey, Melissa, Travis, Lori, everybody up there. Roy Rosario does a great job up there. But Cody, it's an interesting story. Last week I was assisting somebody. Their car had broken down. It was a little Scion car, like one of those little box cars.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to help this individual figure out why their car won't start. I tried jumping the car. Nothing's working. So now I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's the problem? Is it a starter? What is it? I have no idea. All of a sudden, my friend Cody shows up out of nowhere. And the interesting thing is I just talked to Cody the day before on the phone about getting together for lunch. And out of nowhere in this random parking lot, he pulls up. He was going somewhere. He pops the hood of this vehicle. Within minutes, he's putting his hands, you know, throughout the engine and determine that it was some serpentine belt. You know what a serpentine belt is?
Yep.
So I think I'm saying it right. Anyway, long story short, Cody pushed this little Scion, and the driver then, you know, was messing with the clutch, and the car started, and he drove off. I mean, I'm sitting there for 45 minutes to an hour trying to figure out how am I going to help this guy, because I knew the guy whose car broke down. Cody pulls up, gets under the hood, messes around like Parker Schnabel, and before you know it, the car's running. Cody grew up on a farm, used to work on farm equipment. I'm from the city. I mean, what do I know? I mean, I know a lot of things about growing up in a city. None I can talk about on the radio. But kudos to Cody.
Todd L. Levitt, good lawyer, not so good at fixing your car, but that's okay.
Speaking of vehicles, you want to hear a complaint?
Yes.
Okay, so last week, I'm on my way to DTE Energy Foundation Trail, which is, if you live in the state of Michigan or one of the surrounding states, and you have the physical ability to purchase a bike, a mountain bike, a fat bike, a single speed, or like I have, a Salsa Spearfish, my girlfriend, carbon fiber, beautiful bike, you got to get to DTE Energy Foundation Trails. They just opened up the new loop. It is just ridiculous. In the event, I'm on my way there. I'm behind a Mustang. I used to have a 98 4.6 liter black-on-black Mustang convertible, Craig.
Okay.
It was a 5-speed. I love Mustangs. I'm behind a Mustang. I think it was maybe a 2013 Mustang. This car was going so slow, I'm thinking to myself, how the heck can you drive a car like that below the speed limit? You either have to be going the speed limit or at the speed limit. I don't want to tell people to speed because I would never advocate anybody break any laws of any state. But you feel me on this, Craig? This guy's in a Mustang. If you have a Mustang, you can't be tanking it like a turtle. Do we agree on that?
Totally agree.
I'm in my big truck. I got a big old truck, big Chevy truck. Got my bike on the back. I'm all geared up, heading down to DTE to meet Big Hair, Captain Tom, Big Daddy, to shred the gnar all day on these trails. And this guy, there was too much traffic to my left, so I couldn't go anywhere. Meanwhile, I'm coming up on this Mustang, and the guy's cleaning his windshield. So he turns his windshield wiper on. I'm thinking, okay, he's cleaning his windshield, right? Nothing wrong with that, right, Craig?
Sure, no, it's perfectly fine.
Okay, then he goes another quarter of a mile, and he starts doing it again. But this time, he keeps doing it again and again and again. This guy was going so slow, he must have felt that I was so close to him that in order to get me off his tail, I wasn't even tailgating this guy. I was like three lengths behind. He started using his windshield wiper fluid to just annoy me or to try to make me slow down. I couldn't believe it. I never, in all the years I've been driving with the license and before I was driving when I should have been driving without a license, when I was 14 in a K car, hey, statute of limitations. I've never had anybody in front of me turn their windshield wiper fluid on because they thought I was going too close to him. First off, this guy should have his license taken away because if you're driving a car that's that badass, you got to drive that car like it's meant to be driven with respect. you know, and dignity. Don't be turtling the car, you know, 20 miles under the speed limit. So this guy started turning on his windshield wipers. I had never had anybody do that to me.
Unbelievable. Think about that. You've been driving as long as you've been driving, and somebody did that to try and annoy you. Did you ever get past him? Did he ever, like, finally get away? I mean, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, traffic cleared, so I went in the left lane, and I went around him. I had to look into the car to see who he was, and I got to tell you something. You know, a lot of times cars fit. Like, someone driving a car looks like they belong in that truck. Like, I'm a truck guy. I look like I belong in a truck or a dually or some kind of big Chevy or Ford or, you know, big Chrysler. I used to have a Chrysler, too. I look like I belong in a truck, and I used to have a Mustang convertible. This guy did not look like he should have been in that car. He looked like he should have been in one of those European cars, those little box cars. There's no way this guy should have had his Mustang driving privileges revoked. It's like having a cool name. Like, a buddy of mine, he's got a son. His name is Liam. If you got a cool name like Liam, if you don't grow up being a cool guy, you got to give back that name. Same that I told my buddy that I said, you named your five-year-old Liam. He's got a great name. If he grows up, he's not cool. He's got to give that name back. I'm just saying, Craig, I know we're a law show. I'm way off on a tangent right now. That guy in that Mustang is a former Mustang guy myself. He needs to have his Mustang privileges revoked.
Kind of sounds like how Big Hair fits driving a Prius, because he looks like he's a Prius driver. Big Hair, you know, with his flannel on and everything. It fits perfectly.
When we left DTE on the same day, Big Hair did have his Prius. We were heading north on M52 back to 96 to come through East Lansing to head back home. So he's in his Prius. I'm in my truck. This guy left about 2 minutes ahead of me. He was going so slow, I had to pass him in the left lane when it was legal to pass him. I couldn't believe it. I'm not even making fun of Big Hair. But for those of you who don't know who Big Hair is, he's one of my best friends. That's his nickname. He's always on the show. He hasn't been on lately, but he just provides us a plethora of entertainment. So, yeah, Big Hair in his Prius, he can drive slow in that Prius because it's a Prius. But Big Hair has a truck as well, so he gets a pass.
Oh, yeah, I'm just giving Big Hair a hard time. You know how it is. But
hey, Craig.
Hey, Todd.
Before we go, because the show's almost over with, I just wanted to – we had another question. We were always talking about California, and Prop 64 was the law in California that made adult use of marijuana legal, and it was approved back in November 8th of 2016. The question is, how much can someone possess? How much can – well, they can possess – no more than 6 plants for personal use at the residence, and they can give away up to 1 ounce of cannabis. So if you're an adult 21 and over, you can possess privately and for your use and give away up to 1 ounce of cannabis. So that's interesting. Up to 1 ounce. That's all in California. In the state of Michigan, when this new law passes in November, you're going to have an opportunity to possess up to 10 ounces in your home, not just 2.5 ounces, but there's a 10-ounce part of the new law that's in there. You have to read it, folks.
It'll be interesting to see how what the illegal marijuana trade has done in California since legalization. It'll be interesting to see in places that have legalized recreational marijuana, like Michigan will, how what the illegal trade does. If it goes down to just nothing or if it's still there. And I would wonder why it would still be there if you are legally allowed to grow it in your own house. It'd be interesting to see how that'll all work out. Hey, I do have a couple other quick cannabis notes. First place, Hawaii has now passed a bill. If you're an out-of-state medical marijuana user, you can apply for a temporary medical marijuana card. It costs $45 to be able to buy medical marijuana in Hawaii. And a lot of people travel to Hawaii, so that's a pretty big deal. And also in Utah, the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, they are for medicinal marijuana, even though they're against recreational marijuana in the state of Utah. It's very interesting that they're for it. I would think most churches are against it. But quick, couple of quick cannabis updates. Todd, I think the show's over. I think we got to get going.
Craig, what a great show. Huge show. Again, I want to welcome all the college students back to your alma mater, my alma mater, Central Michigan University, Fire Up Chips. We are located right here in the middle of the Midtown, Mount Pleasant, Michigan. I also have an office in St. Ignace and soon to be opening one up in Marquette in the great state of Superior. We hope everybody has a great school year. Pay attention in class. Just don't memorize. Understand what the heck it is that you're reading. Craig, what a great show. As always, full of information. If you miss any part of the show, catch us on podcast, Spotify, Podbean, iTunes, SoundCloud, Android app, Libsyn. We have dozens. We probably have 100-plus shows on podcast that's free to download for the listeners.
There you go. Show's over. Couldn't have said any better myself. Todd?
Craig, I'm not just a litigator. I love you, Craig Russell. I'm an advocate. Take us out with some docking. One of my all-time favorites, The Hunter, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll see you next week.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Installation of Midland, Mackinac Properties and Northern Michigan Vacation Rentals, buying, selling, and renting properties in the Straits of Mackinac region since 1998, Tim's Collision Plus in Roscommon, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, and Dr. Robert Townsend in Denali Healthcare for your alternative health care needs.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.